Last week, James told us a bit of his story, and you know, stories are great, aren't they? Because it reminds us that actually the things that we believe, that we know that we believe, really are true. I don't know about you, sometimes I manage to have heard lots of things, seen lots of things, and somehow I can still manage to disconnect myself from the truth. Has anybody else managed to do that? We're not very clever, are we? Oh, I'm not very clever, sorry, you can join in. But that is a fantastic story, and it fits perfectly with what I want to speak about this morning. Actually, it's one of those mornings where I have a really strong sense, as I've been thinking and praying and planning, that God wants to do things with us this morning. And I've got a sneaky feeling that it's going to be one of those mornings where we will have to cooperate with what God wants to do for us to get the things that God's got for us. I'm just warning you about that, because it means that, as usual, we've got a choice. So we can opt in or we can sit back. I heard someone the other day and I liked it. They said, we can choose to be spectators or we can choose to be participators. And I've lived all my life trying to make sure that I'm picking option B every time, but sometimes that involves a choice, doesn't it, on our part, in order for us to be able to do that. So anyone here this morning want to join me with participating rather than spectating? Okay. Father, I just pray that you would help us this morning, Lord. We've made a quick declaration then that we want to participate in the things that you have for us. Lord, we don't want to be people who are looking on. We want to be people who are pressing on. And I pray this morning that you would make us those people as we choose to cooperate with you, as we choose to align ourselves with you, as we choose to hear what you've got to say to us and be, I pray, quick to respond. Amen. Okay, so this morning I want to talk a little bit about faith. Those of you who were here last week talked a bit about faith then, and if you were here last week, or even if you weren't here last week, the final thing that we said, we talked about together, was this two verses from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. And this is the place I want to start at this morning. In fact, I'll just go back to 16 and 17, but I think you'll have some of them on the screen. It says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet, they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. They're brilliant words, amazing reality. And the other way you could say this, we talked about this last week, is this. We said faith sees beyond our current circumstances to a higher reality. In other words, fixing our eyes on things that are unseen, that don't make any sense, but only make sense if we look through the eyes of faith. Now, those of you who were around on Friday evening, Molly already mentioned it, with this guy called John Archer. It was an event that we put on as part of our launching Alpha, and it was basically, it was a fun night. Those of you who are here, did we have some fun on Friday evening? Yes, we did. And John Archer is brilliant, very clever, very funny. But one of the things that he did, I mean, it was one of those nights where you ended up going home, everybody went home saying, how on earth did he do that? Because it was that clever. And there was one of the tricks that he did, one of the illusions that he did, that we all went home. Me and Johnny have had a conversation about it this morning. How did he do that? But I thought, for those of you who weren't there, I thought it'd be interesting because it fits so perfectly with what I want to talk about. I thought what we could do is we could recreate one of the illusions that John Archer did on Friday evening. Is everyone up for that? Yeah, so if you weren't there, you get to see it. It may not be quite the same as when John Archer did it. So what I need someone to help me, okay? This is proper John Archer style, so it needs to be someone who saw what John Archer did on Friday night so that they can help me replicate it. Is there any volunteers? Okay, well, let's have Zach. Zach, come on, let's give Zach a hand. Okay, so Zach, you're trying to work out which of the things that John Archer did. You were definitely there on Friday night. You were paying attention, yes. Weren't you? Okay, because the one I want, the thing that the illusion that he did that I want us to recreate is the thing with gaffer tape.
Yay.
Okay. maths, okay? Yeah, it's worked out well. So, actually, the people who helped on Friday night, as Louise obviously isn't around, Carl, could you just come and help again? Because Carl's an expert. Carl was involved. So basically, we're just going to recreate this. Zach, you remember what John Archer did? What we're going to do is I'm going to need some other volunteers as well. So Jill, perhaps you could still be involved. What John Archer did, and we're going to recreate. John Archer took two coins. He took $2 coins. I haven't got any dollar coins, so I've got the quarter coins. I don't know if they work so well, but we're going to have to use this. So he took two coins, and he placed them over the eyes of Zach. Well, in our case, it's Zach. Yeah. Okay. He had some gaffer tape, and he had a blindfold. And basically, the essence of what he did was he created this scene where he did it to himself, actually. I could do with some water. That didn't work out too well. Now, it's very important that Zach can't see anything. Okay, so this is the first thing. So we just need to make sure that Zach can't see anything for the illusion to work. So is that going okay so far for you, Zach?
Yeah, I can't.
Okay. Now the next thing, just so that we get it right, we had a blindfold next. Okay. Now the only blindfold I've got is a pink Minnie Mouse one. So is that okay for you, Zach? Yeah. Here it is. Do you like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to feel it. I just poured water on it. So that was very good. Okay, that's good. That's probably one for the photo album. Yeah. Okay, got it. Okay, and then just to make sure that it worked, the last thing that John Archer did was he just put some gaffer tape. Now, he did it three times round, but I think that's fine. No, yeah, that's fine. I think that's fine, because gaffer tape's expensive. So I think we can settle for that. Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. I know. I couldn't find a cup. And then, Carl, are you done? Or is there anything else you need to do? Let's thank Carl. Fantastic. John Archer, there was a kiss, wasn't there? But we'll leave that. No, it wasn't that. Okay, so Zach, if you could just stand a little bit further over here, that's great. Now, the second part to this illusion, John Archer asked three different people to draw something on a piece of paper that then he, straight afterwards, was able to see what was on the piece of paper, even though he couldn't see anything. So I just need three people very quickly who are good at drawing or not good at drawing. Yeah, Ruth. Okay, I can't walk past this line, so if you could, that'd be great, yeah. So Jill's going to find three people, so we just need something that's a big, clear, quick drawing, and then, so Zach, you saw this, so you know how to do it, yeah, okay. Okay. So once we've got these three things, we'll give it a shot. Are you okay, Zach?
Yeah, fine.
You okay there for a while?
Yeah.
We've got, Zach could sit down because he's here now for a while. Yeah. Okay, so once we've got these three pictures, I just need one of them for now. That's great. Okay, perfect. Excellent. So I think we haven't done a risk assessment for this. Okay, so Zach, we've got, there's going to be three drawings. We've got the first one. Yeah, there's something very funny, isn't there, about having someone who's blindfolded sat next to you. Okay, so Zach, if you'd like to hold your hand out. Okay, and I've got this picture. Right, okay. And actually, so you can see it. So, well, strange, yeah. Okay, so Zach, you saw what John Archer did. And John Archer, okay, was very quickly able to say what was on the thing. I need you, nice and loud, because there isn't a microphone there.
Yeah, most people draw like a plane or a boat. No, I don't think this person has drawn a plane or a boat. No, this is a car.
Okay. Well, because no one's clapping. The thing that was different when John Arch did it was everyone clapped, wasn't it? And that's because he got it right. So so what I'm going to do, Zach, is I'm going to leave these so that you can have a look later at what you could have missed out on. But just stay there and perhaps just think if you've got any other ideas about how it works, because then we're going to show you the second one in a minute. So thinking about things that are seen and things that are unseen. And the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, he's talking about things that are unseen. He's talking about unseen realities in chapter 5. He's actually talking about what will happen when believers die and are transformed from this earthly realm into the heavenly realm. And in verse 6, he says this: "So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord, which is our glorious future. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord." So he's talking about our future, those of us who are believers, those of us who have made that decision to follow Jesus. And he says in there, but the way that we live right now, he talks about the fact that one day we'll be in heaven, which is our home. That's where we're all heading, those of us who are believers. But he says, in the meantime, we live by believing and not seeing. Or another translation says, we live by faith and not by sight. And if you think about it, if you're not a Christian, this is a totally crazy idea, because most people live by what they can see around them, don't they? That's the way that most people live. So as Christians, we live by faith and not by sight. So Zach, let's try picture number 2, see if you can improve on where you've been so far. Okay, here's picture number 2, everybody, so that you can see it. Now remember what John Archer did. That's a lovely picture. Whose picture was this? Dave's. Very good, thank you. We'll sell these later on eBay. So it's just coming in now. Which way around do you want it? Is that okay for you? Okay, great. So you're very confident. You remembered what John Archer did, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Off you go. It's a good shot, that is, Zach. That is actually a pretty good shot. That's amazing. So perhaps this talk is moving on to talking about words of knowledge, but we're not talking about that. That's something completely different, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry. But that was actually pretty close, Zach. You'll be quite pleasantly surprised when you see picture number 2, unless we just swap them around and pretend that was picture number 1, and then you won't be impressed with yourself at all. So Zach can't see, but we're people who live by faith and not by sight. So if that's the case, well, what is faith? What would a definition of faith be? Well, if we go to Hebrews 11, a very famous passage that talks about faith, it says this in verse 1. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Have I got that one in there, chaps? Yeah, so faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And another version of this verse, if you want to push it on, Stephen, says this. It's a different translation, or it's kind of like a paraphrase, but it's good. It says, "Now faith is turning dreams into deeds. It's betting your life on unseen realities." Now think about it for a minute. People who don't have a faith in God, this idea of betting your life on what you cannot see makes no sense. I don't know if you've had conversations with people who think you're crazy because you're one of these crazy Christian believer type folk. Anyone ever had that kind of conversation with people? I had a conversation with someone at work on whatever day it was. I was talking to them, I was suggesting that they might like to come and see John Archer, and they were explaining to me that they weren't religious. I said, I'm not either. We had a conversation, and he said, Matt, I know you're one of those type of people. and he said, which is great, it's just, he said, I don't think I could ever believe. And so for people without faith, people who live by faith, looks crazy. But actually also the opposite is true, isn't it? If we are people of faith, then actually the rest of the world looks pretty crazy, doesn't it? I mean, actually, I can't imagine what it would look like for me personally for them to believe that there isn't a God. That's a more scary, crazy prospect for me. So actually, the obverse is true as well, isn't it? Philip Yancey says, faith is believing in advance what only makes sense in reverse. That's clever, isn't it? So as people of faith, we're betting our lives, or you could say giving our lives, to something that will last forever, which doesn't make much sense. Most people are, if you think about it, or this is the way I think about it, most people are aiming for certain things, aren't they? Earthly happiness through relationships, material things, career. Perhaps some people are looking for fame and fortune. Actually, the truth is everyone has a faith in something, don't they? Some people put their faith in people. Some people put their faith in their career. But what we're talking about is people who put their faith in God. So if faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen and is an assurance about things we cannot see, the next question is, how do we get faith? How many people would like some more faith? Anybody? Well, first of all, we don't go out and get faith. I think I'll have that. First of all, you don't go out and get faith. Faith comes. So if I throw this out to someone, that was a one-handed catch, everyone. If I throw it this way, good catch, Billy. I thought people would have given you a round of applause, but I... of course, let's see if we can throw a bit further. Now, of course, faith is something that you have to catch hold of. And we don't always catch hold of it, do we? So thanks for helping with the example there. I don't know who missed the catch. It was either Dave or George. I'm not sure. Either we can talk about it later. But actually, faith isn't something we go out and get. Faith is something that comes. And faith is something that we have to catch hold of. So there are promises that God has declared over us as individuals. There are promises that God has declared over us as church. And they're there anyway. They sit, if you like, in the unseen realm. And the only way that we get them is by faith. is by catching hold of them. And so when does faith come? Well, what about when someone reads the Bible, when you read the Bible? Is that a place where faith comes? Anyone else find that you're reading the Bible, you've got something that makes sense or something that doesn't make sense, but actually somehow faith comes? How many people this morning, when Ruth tells a story of an experience that she's had, where she's had a God encounter in her life, how many people say after that, yeah, do you know what? I found that I had more faith after that, because there were things that Ruth talked about which actually give me faith, that causes me to see that things that actually I believe in will actually happen. Is anybody else like that? And faith comes where the will of God is known. So, okay, that's great, but the will of God, that's kind of a big deal, isn't it? How do we know what the will of God looks like? Well, there's different ways. I would say one of them is knowing the word of God. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's how it comes to us, when we can catch it and take hold of it. And how do we know the will of God? Well, I guess there's three things that I would say. One is through reading God's word, reading the Bible. Another would be wise counsel. You know, if you want to know what God's will is for your life, one of the obvious way and the most important way is the word of God, the Bible, for us to get hold of that, to read it, to know it. The other is wise counsel. How many people know that it's great that there's people around? If you want to know what God's will is, then often it's great to have other people who you are mature believers, people you recognize who know God's word themselves, but you can go to, you can talk to, you can. The Bible talks a lot about wisdom, doesn't it? It talks a lot about wise counsel, and having people around who can help us together to find what God's will is for us. And the third thing, prophetic words. This is when, for those of you who don't know, this is when God speaks to us through an individual, through God's Spirit, making it clear that we express something of God's heart through a prophetic word, which helps us to understand and give clarity to the things that God might be speaking to us about his plan and his will for our life. Now, many of us in this room, we could identify times when we have had one of these prophetic words, where God has spoken something through somebody else so that we might know God's plans and purposes and things for our life. And when you have something like that, then that gives us faith. And some of these things that when faith comes by hearing the word of God, some of them are general things that all of us take hold of. So, for example, if you need healing in your life in some way, then God's word tells us that by his stripes, by Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, that we are healed. It's a promise, it's in the Bible, it's for all of us. If you need finances, if you need faith for finances, these are just examples. In the Bible, in Philippians, it says, "And this God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." So these are promises that we can allow us to get faith as we hear them. And of course, I mentioned it then, but some of us have specific promises in our lives, things that God has said to us, where we know that there is a places that we need to go, there are things that we need to do, there are activities that God has put before us, and they're the kind of things where sometimes when we talk about them, when we share them, that actually there's something within us that goes, yeah, that's me, that's what I'm made for, that's what I'm built for. Some of us have had things that God has spoken to us years and years ago that haven't yet happened. And of course, there is a question as to how we respond to that. I think it's actually possible for us to hear God's word, allow faith to come, but then if we drop the ball, it's gone, isn't it? We have to choose to remain faithful to those promises. I saw some of you were with me when I saw Dwayne White was talking about faith, and he did a great illustration. Zach, are you still around? Are you still happy to help? I need one more person. Carl? Dwayne illustrated something which I thought was really excellent, really helpful. Carl, if you'd like to come over here. Zach, are you okay just to step down from your throne? If you just move over a little bit further, that's great. Okay, so I just want us to think a bit about how faith works. I was a little bit distracted by looking at Zach for a moment, but I'm okay again. So it's kind of like, so in this example, in this illustration, Carl is the promise. So Carl's the dream, Carl's the promise, Carl's the thing that that God has put before us that we know is something that we need to get hold of. But what happens is Carl is the promise, he is the dream, but he's in the unseen realm. So Zach, you still can't see, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So it's like, this works as an example because Zach can't see anything anyway, but Carl exists. You remember last week we talked about the idea of having two realms. There's the unseen realm, there's the unseen realities, and that's where our promise, our dream, that's where it exists. And yet we live with Zach in this physical, earthly realm. And in between, there's kind of like a thin veil. So in order for us to see things by faith, we have to reach through. So if you reach out, Zach, and Carl, if you just put your hand out, we have to reach through and we have to grab hold through the unseen, into the unseen realm, and take hold of something. And how do we do that? We do it by faith. And you still can't see it, right, Zach?
That's right.
And actually, we hold on to that promise by faith. But of course, there's times when, well, if you let go, Zach, there's times when we drop the ball, we lose sight of it, we don't see it, we can't see it, and we get disconnected from our promise. And actually, when that happens, what we have a tendency today to say is, where we say, faith doesn't work. Because we haven't seen the promise, we haven't seen the dream, we haven't seen what God has set before us, and we're just living in this world here, like this. But the promise is telling him he's still here, it's encouraging. Holy Spirit whispers, yeah. So what do we do? Well, we have a choice, don't we? So let's just reach out again in faith, Zach. Take hold of the promise. And this is what I believe for many of us. This is what we need to do. So for all this could take place over years and years, couldn't it? But actually, we stay connected to the dreams and the promises that God has put before us, and we keep believing, we keep walking. We keep doing the things that God's put before us. A lot of those things are just in terms of living the way that God's called us to be. So we still do the things that are right. We still do the things that are pleasing to God. We still do the things that are... So we're still worshipping God. We're still praising God. We're still putting Him first in our lives. We're still caring for our families. We're still loving one another. And as time moves on, gradually, through faith... Oh, that wasn't too bad, was it? I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel a thing. Where's the padlock? Oh, that's a different trick. Hold tight, Zach. It's all right, I'm just making sure we can reuse the gaffer. Oh, sorry, Zach, I forgot you were there. I don't think fast always works.
Fast always works either.
Let's do it gently. But then... round of applause. And then what happens is the things... Just blink, Zach. You have light again. It's a different illustration. But then what happens is he keeps believing, he keeps walking, he keeps praising. And then what happens is the promise comes into the seen realm and he gets his promise. That's good news. That's why you clap. Because that's what happens. Now, just stay there. You okay? You can see again. So then, one day, Zach gets his promise. He gets the dream, and it becomes seen. And after that, he doesn't need faith, because you don't need faith when the things are seen. But let's just go back a little bit. If you go back into the unseen realm for a moment. Now, of course, there are some things which require more faith. And there are some times when Zach might reach out for his promise... His promise will reach out to him. And Zach's praying, he's believing, he's got faith. But it's something that requires some more faith and he needs some help. Completely unprompted. He needs some more help to get his promise. So reach over and help him. Yeah, just help, grab hold of the... And actually, sometimes... there are some things that we're praying for, that we're believing for, which actually we can't do on our own. How many people have prayed for some stuff that actually you can't see the promise on your own? And actually we pray, and we believe, and then one day the promise moves into the seen realm, and we see the promise. And sometimes there are really big things. So, for example, we're on a journey, of course. We're praying for a new home for Ashwood Church. Well, how many people think that we've got a great building core team, but how many people know that if we just leave it to them, good though they are, that probably isn't enough faith for us to see everything that God's got for us? Now the truth is, if we're praying in line with God's will, which of course is important for us to first of all understand and establish, then the truth is that the promise exists already. So the promise is there, and it exists in the unseen realm. And our job is to do what? It's to believe and to reach. So if the promise is too big, then it's going to take loads of us to reach through into the unseen realm, to believe, to have faith, and to see God's promise manifest, is what the spiritual jargony kind of word, but literally means making seen, putting flesh on something that is otherwise unseen. So as church, how many people know that in our future the likelihood is that there's going to be some bigger things that we're going to need to ask God for and to believe for? Yeah? So who wants to help bring the promise in this time? We're going to need a few more people. Anybody else going to come in and just help a minute? Yeah, come on. So let's reach for the promise. Let's reach for the promise. Yeah, Zach's an expert at reaching for the promise. And as church, we're going to have to reach in faith. Now you notice that our job is just to reach and to believe. We don't, the promise is all God's part. Only God, that's God's business. And of course there's lots of questions about this kind of stuff and about faith and how it works, and I'm not going to go into all that right now, perhaps next week. But actually there's a sense that only together, as we pray, as we believe, as we're faithful to God, that one day we see the promise move from the unseen realm into the seen realm.
Yay.
Okay, thank you everybody, that's helpful. And I don't know about you, but I want me to be people who have my eyes fixed on the unseen realities, make sure that I'm not focused on things that are going to be a distraction, going to be unhelpful. And of course, if we take the example even further, once we've believed and we've prayed and we've seen the promise, then of course we don't need faith for that promise anymore, but there'll be the next promise. There'll be the next building. How many people are praying for not the next building, but the building behind the next building, beyond the next building? I know. Well, again, let's just stick with for now. But actually, none of these things are a problem to God, are they? Because the promise already exists in the unseen realm. So how many people would like to have some more faith for themselves? And how many people would like to have some more faith for us as church? For those of you who don't know, we don't live that far from the Ashwood Centre, Claire and I. And yesterday, I drove down to the end of our road, which is not far from the end of the road down here. And I knew it was coming because I'd seen a sign. But yesterday, for the first time, the builders, the diggers, the three-way traffic control signal arrived. And as I pulled up, expecting to turn quickly out of the end of the road, I realised I had to wait for a while. And I felt God say, get ready for some disruption. You know, sometimes, often, God speaks to us in the spiritual things, in the natural things. How many people have ever seen that happen before? And to be honest, the disruption at the end of our road, which is going to last for 11 weeks. Yeah. And of course, this is an announcement you've already found out. If you've come that way, try and avoid it, go another way. We can't where we live. There aren't any other options. But I felt God was saying, get ready for some disruption. And to be honest, if that's what God's saying to me, that doesn't excite me. I don't know about you, but the way I live my life at the moment, the only way it works, everything is carefully planned. My diary has got things in it that I don't really want disrupting. My work day has got things in it that I don't need disrupting. Some people would say it's OCD. Anyone else enjoy that kind of thing? Darren, I see that hand. We've talked about it before. And to be honest, I don't know if I'm OCD. It just kind of helps in order to be able to live life I need to know what's coming. But actually, I believe that in order for us to grow, and this is where the analogy of the roadworks at the end of the road doesn't really, it kind of stops. In order for us to grow into the people that God has called us to be, sometimes God disrupts where we're at. You know, if you decided to follow Jesus and someone told you that you'd have a comfy, easy life, I apologize, because you were sold a bit of a flibby whopper. Is that out of the BFG? Flibby whoppers are things which exist in the unseen realm. Anyway, it was a lie, basically. And I'm not after disruption, but I am after taking hold of the things of God's kingdom in my life. And if that involves some disruption, and it involves being obedient and following God, then I'm more than okay with it, because I want to choose to embrace it. And this morning, as we finish our meeting, hopefully I've made some kind of sense. It made sense in my head, which I know is a different place. I wonder if... You see, I actually think that this morning, that for some of us, we have to allow God to cause us to see things in the unseen realm, so that we reach by faith and take hold again of some of those promises, some of those dreams, take hold of them again. Some of us have lived by faith all our lives. Some of us have lived by faith only very recently. But I want to encourage us all this morning to step into the things that God has got for us. I wonder if we could close our eyes. For some of us this morning, you know exactly what the dream or the promise is. Some of us have got old dreams and old promises, and perhaps we've disconnected ourselves from them. Perhaps we've allowed the fact that we haven't seen the promise come into the seen realm to say this faith thing doesn't work. But I just believe this morning that the different things that we need faith for, that God's going to cause something to take place as we make those choices. Some people this morning need faith for a healing miracle in their lives. Well, if that's you, look beyond your circumstances and begin to take hold by faith. There's actually some people who aren't here this morning. You've seen some of the prayer emails, those of you who receive those. Rita is not well in hospital. Let's reach through and pray on her behalf. There's other things, though. As I was preparing this week, there's some people this morning who need faith to be able to forgive someone in your life. You know you've got to forgive, you know you've forgot to forgive, you know you've got to allow forgiveness into your life, but you just can't see it. Might sound like an odd thing, but I just believe that God is going to give some of us faith to be able to see the possibility that we can release forgiveness. this isn't relevant for all of us, but if you've come with your marriage partner this morning, your partner, I wonder if you could just, while your eyes are still closed, I wonder if you could just hold hands for a moment. I'm not getting sentimental and romantic. You can do that in your own time. But actually, I believe this morning that God is giving some of us faith for our marriage. And actually, you might say, I can't see it, Matt. Well, that's why you're going to have faith. That's why you need faith. God is going to give you, if you like, a picture, the image of what your marriage looks like in Him. And you reach by faith this morning. Keep believing. Keep holding on to the promise. There's new faith for marriages this morning. I don't know everyone's situation, of course I don't. If there are other things that you need to reach in faith for this morning, please don't miss the opportunity. There's some people, last week those of you who are here, we celebrated together, Simon and Helen. Helen told us the story of how Simon and Helen had been praying for a job for Simon for 8 months. They believed, they had faith. It was a job that was waiting for Simon in the unseen realm, and then it manifested. It became seen in the earthly realm. There's other people who've had jobs that where they've been realigned. This week, Rich was telling me a story of his job circumstances. Gareth told us his story a while ago. If you don't know these stories, go and grab them or talk to me. But there are people in this room who need faith for a work situation. Some people need faith for your kids. Everyone's included here. Don't allow anything to exclude yourself from this. These are the moments where God's doing stuff in our lives, in our spirit. The enemy loves to do everything he can to remove us, to isolate us, to extract us. If you know this morning that you're reaching through with faith on something, particular issue, you know it's really clear, why don't you stand? Let's just pray together as we... Why don't we just reach out for a moment? This is really all about faith. This is all really about conversation between you and God. But it's also about something bigger. You know, whilst God is interested in every aspect of our lives, intimately, the truth is also that we see the bigger picture. We want to see God's kingdom come. And many of the promises, many of the dreams that we reaching out for this morning involve God's kingdom coming in a greater measure than we've seen before. So the truth is that we stand here as individuals before God, but we also represent something much bigger as well. And I believe that faith can come, will come, is coming now as we reach out. So God, we reach out to you for faith this morning, something we hear your word to us. We respond to your word to our life, God. And Lord, we're praying that your kingdom will come. That the dreams and the promises that we identify this morning, so many of us across this gathering of church, of family, of community. Lord, I pray that right now, in Jesus' name, you do something supernatural. Do something supernatural, Lord. We want to play our part. Our part is to believe. Help us to believe. Shika brakete, sukura brakete. Faith for healing, faith for marriages, faith for the future, faith for our kids. We reach out to you, God, in faith. Pray that you would do the things that you can do. Lord, of course, we want to align ourselves this morning. Lord, we do speak against doubt and unbelief this morning as well. Would faith arise in this place? You God, Shika to Sabreke Te, Sakara Brokote, Sabreke Te, Shikana Brokote. We choose to believe today, God. We choose to believe. We speak over us as a body of people that we are the people of God. With a song to sing, with a noise to make, godly living, godly lives, an offering before you. We declare that we will be a people of faith. Lord, as we look ahead, we don't have all the answers, but we declare that we want to be in faith for whatever the next home for Ashwood looks like, God. As your people, we recognize that it's going to require faith, Lord, and we just say we put our trust in you, our confidence is in you, God, our hope is in you. King Jesus, Shikatoso Brekete. Lord, we want to see those things manifest, Lord, in your time, but we say, Lord, would you come? We say, would you kingdom come quickly, Lord, in our lives. I pray for a spirit of boldness, Lord, even this morning, that we we'll have this same level of faith tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. The things that you've set before us as we have a renewed sense, some of us, as to pray into those things. Father, shuku brekete sikala brutuke sijeta kanato. We reach out to you, God. We reach out to you, God. We reach out to you, God. Our confidence is in you. The battle is yours. Our trust is in you. Our faith is in you. Our hope is in you, God. May we be a people who take hold of everything that you've got for us, God. We don't want to miss out on anything. We don't want to dream small when we should dream big. We don't want to expect little when we should expect lots. Let faith come right now, in Jesus' name, into our lives, we pray. Amen. Well, as the kids come back in, we'll close our meeting, but we won't close down our conversations, our prayers. Thank you for being with us this morning. God bless you. Let's take hold of the things that God has got for us. Also, take hold of information sheets. As usual, there's loads of great stuff coming up. Kazoo is on Friday. Next Sunday morning is our dedication Sunday. We'll stick around for lunch afterwards. You're really welcome to join us if you're around. There'll be some sign-up sheets on the door. More information on that. As part of dedicating a number of children, which we're really looking forward to. Thanks for being with us. God bless you. If you need to talk to someone else before you go, please don't leave without doing that. Have a great week. God bless you.